Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Kayla and Ryan, welcome back. We appreciate you staying and doing a second podcast with us today. Just a reminder, Kayla and Ryan North are from Texas. They've been married 16 years. They have six children. Four were adopted out of the foster system. And I just cherish their podcast. I learned so much from it. They've been leading Empowered to Connect classes for over 4 years. They have a website called onebighappyhome.com. And they're just very transparent, and we appreciate you guys being back with us today. Kayla and Ryan, I always want to ask you too about maybe as the students get older, as our children get older, and they're entering the youth ministry. Mm-hmm. There are trips coming up. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing some anxiety in one of mine of being away from home on a mission trip. Those things you want them to feel comfortable to do may not look the same as it does, you know, as it does with other students. And so also in the youth ministry, as they're, you know, they're going through puberty and those triggers hit. Mm-hmm. How can we also deal with that issue so that children feel, young adults, teenagers feel welcome in church to still be a part, but they're still dealing with things that maybe are fearful in their hearts?
Well, yeah, it's a good question, Lynette. Because one of the quaint things that we've always been asked over the years is, okay, I get that this works with young kids, but does it work with teens?
Right.
Or I get that it works with toddlers, does it work with younger kids? I get that it works with teens, does it work with toddlers? And what we've come to understand is the question is, does it work with my children? And the answer is yes. It works with teens, it works with toddlers, it works with adults. What we find we have to do, and Kayla can speak about this a little bit more because she actually runs teen groups. And it is hard because you have all of the trauma, you have everything that we associate with foster care and adoption, plus then you have all the hormonal changes going on. And this is the sense where the kids are really struggling with their sense of identity. Who am I? How do I fit into the world? And it's compounded by their histories. But what we have found is really effective is these are principles. You just apply them in ways that the teens can receive them. So my favorite example of that is if you're stressed out, you put your finger on your top lip and push against it, and they call that making a magic mustache. And because you're getting the sensory, the deep tissue sensory input, it's kind of resetting your system and you're able to cope with it. Think about it all the times when you're stressed, how you push on your, you know, you put your hands in your face. You know, talking with teens, you'll notice like on there's a TBRI for teens video, and she doesn't call it making a magic mustache. She explains to the boy that he's accessing his parasympathetic nerve system. It's exactly the same thing, but she understood that if she called it accessing a magic mustache, that boy would say, she's treating me like I'm a little kid,
right,
and therefore I will ignore her. So finding how to take, it's like the message of the gospel, right? The message can't change. You just have to find the way to deliver it so that the person whose ears they're intended for can actually receive that message. And so I think one of the ways we've seen success with that with teenagers particularly is understanding their anxiety, is understanding that they do need their space. And so I feel like that's a time now with our kids personally where when they were younger, we wanted to keep them close. But if they're choosing and saying to us, you know, for me to deal with this moment, I need to stick my headphones on and listen to loud music in my room. We don't push back on that as much as we did when they were little, because we've come to understand for the stage of life they're in, that's important to them. So being able to make little adjustments on the fly, I think is really, really important in communicating this material to people who are working with teens, to people who are working with young adults, because trauma is trauma. It still informs our choices the same way, no matter if we're 5 or 50.
So taking those principles that you've talked about and for students who want to go on a trip, or they're having anxiety about them, to be able to say, hey, I see, you know, I know that you may be struggling with being away from home. Here are some things that you can do while you're away. And also know that you can call me or text me anytime, but here are some little things that you could do while you're gone if you're starting to feel anxious.
Yeah, because I think a lot when the kids get older, educating them, mm-hmm. and it's not necessarily as much about educating the people around them as mm-hmm. it is about educating them. Now, there's some aspect of educating those volunteers and the staff that work with our teenagers. But really, if our kids know what they need and we're able to help them, say, here's what calms you. So here's, you know, you need to make sure you have these things with you when you go on this trip so that you know, or identifying one person that is kind of their safe person that they mm-hmm. know I can go to that person and say.
That works well for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if they have that person that they really trust, that's what we found with ours. We have, you know, one in high school and one in middle school, and they have those certain people that they really trust and that they really know they can go to for anything. So even when they're struggling, when they're away from home, if they know that one person's going to be there, then they don't mind going, mm-hmm. you know?
I was going to say, talking about the anxiety is a big issue, right?
It is.
And it's compounded by the teenage thing, because all of a sudden, will people like me question mm-hmm. becomes so pervasive. But there's something that is sometimes very unpopular with Christian parents, and that is that if your child has anxiety about the mission trip, well, maybe this year's not the time for mm-hmm. them to go. And a lot of folks don't want to hear that, because they're like, they have this idea of what it means to be a Christian family, the idea of what it means to be a child growing up in the church, what teens should do. And then there's this checklist of things we expect from our children. And one of the things that's been really helpful for us is really checking our expectations at the door and saying, you know what, maybe this isn't the right year for them to do that.
Right.
And one of the things we did with anxiety, we ended up doing at the advice of a therapist, was making anxiety a person, like giving it a name, making it an animal, having your child draw a picture of that animal. And that really helped probably our highest anxiety child through so much, was actually making her anxiety a person and not just this nebulous thing that was always around or like a dark shadow, but like giving it a name and a face. And getting to that point, she really, like the things that she was able to do that she just would refuse to do before that was amazing. And just by, she called it her worry snake. And she drew a picture mm-hmm. about it. And she would literally, when she was struggling to do something, she would literally stop and talk to that thing like it was standing in front of her.
Wow.
And she would remind it that it had no power over mm-hmm. her and she was going to do these things. And she has been able to do some amazing things that she was stuck in for years just by doing that, by giving her anxiety a name and addressing it like, you have no power over mm-hmm. me. I will not let you do this. And so that may sound silly to like a 17-year-old, mm-hmm. but it's very real. It was so, so helpful for her.
Yeah.
So Ryan, I have a question for you. Oftentimes, like when you were talking about the fact that Kayla kind of bought into these principles a little bit ahead of you, oftentimes I feel like moms are a little more touchy-feely, tend to be a little bit more nurturing. Not that you're not, but and dads tend to be more of the authoritative kind of parenting. So how can you speak to dads about even just considering looking into doing something like this that's a little bit unconventional?
Well, I think that it addresses an issue that I had to really kind of struggle with, and that is that if you're going to lead your family, you need to consider what is best for your family. You need to be willing to embrace new ideas. Because so many times, we hear from men who say, you know, my wife has taken over the leadership of our family. And I always respond the same way. No, I think you've allowed that. And so I really want to challenge dads in saying that, you know, if you want what's best for your family, you have to consider all of the options. You have to have the humility to say that I may not be right, because I didn't have that at first. I had the idea of, well, he hasn't been in the family long enough. But I think it does take a level of humility to say what I am doing is not working. Mm-hmm. And it takes a level of humility to say I need help. And I struggled with asking for help. But what I've come to understand is that asking for help doesn't prove you're weak. It proves that you're smart. Like, I think it's evidence that you're smart. You recognize I need shoring up in this level area of my life. And I need to do what's best for my kids. I need to do what's best for my wife. Because embracing trust-based parenting for me personally was not just transformative for my children. It was transformative in my marriage. It was what was good for them. It was good for my wife. She homeschools those kids. And if we're not creating an environment of felt safety where she can actually thrive and reach them and educate them instead of constant struggles and battles and chasing kids who are running off and, you know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. right? So I feel like I don't only have a responsibility to my children to consider if what we're doing is working and then embrace these things that make relationship important. I have that responsibility to my wife as well. And so I think that, you know, men, we need to have the humility to question if what we're doing is in the best interest of our family. I think we have to have the humility to question, are we effectively leading our families? And the answer a lot of the time is no. And then you have to not be defensive about that. You have to receive that gentle rebuke, and then you have to figure out how to do it better, because at the end of the day, it is my responsibility to my wife, and it is my responsibility to my children to do whatever I can to create an environment of felt safety where they can grow and heal, and hope can come back to our home. And I think that that is my duty to them before the Lord, and I have to take that as seriously as that statement implies it needs to be taken.
And I think as a woman, you say, I know maybe all three of us, all three families here could agree that we've all had to stop and say, I mean, the Lord's built our families in unconventional mm-hmm. ways, okay, all three of our families. And there comes a time where you have to stop and say, I believe you do. There's no shame in saying, we got to regroup here.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is not just what you were saying, mm-hmm. Kayla, you know, and Ryan, what we were raised to do mm-hmm. or how we saw our parents marriage, or, you know, even though it was great, it's not, this is not working here. We've got to regroup. When my husband does that in our home,
right,
I have so much respect for him because I need his leadership. And when he says, Lynn, this isn't working this way this time. Okay. We have six kids. They've all launched differently and they're all going to launch mm-hmm. differently, or they're all going to make different choices in life. We all have that constant of, we love the Lord. We pray together. We seek him, train in their hearts. Right. But they're all, they all come from different places in life. Mm-hmm. And so when my husband says, we're going to stop and evaluate this decision and how we've been doing things, as a woman,
it's a game changer for me too.
It is a game changer. You're right.
And, you know, we talk about our kids needing felt safety, but it makes me feel felt safety
right.
when I can kind of, you know, feel like I'm underneath that wing of David's just protection and objectivity sometimes when I feel a little bit out of control with, oh my word, I'm trying to stuff the next 15 years into today.
Yes.
And he says, okay, hang tight. Because we're gonna look at things a little differently. So I do appreciate that, and I feel like our husbands, when they take that leadership role, it does allow that felt safety for the entire family.
Yes,
which I think is my responsibility. But you said something, Lynette, that I completely agree with, and that is that at this table, I would imagine, from what everything that's been said, I know it's true in our home, and it's in truth a lot of the families we work with, that mom has that humble moment way before dad does. Where mom realizes we need help way before dad does, because dad's like, no, we got this. And it is a question of humility, I think, to be able to say, I need help, and to say what we're doing isn't working. And we just visited a church last week, and they were preaching on Ephesians 5, which I know, I mean, when people do weddings, the bride half of the time says, can we not do that Ephesians 5 stuff? and so I don't know about half of the time. I know there have been weddings that I have performed where the bride has said, could we not include that? But they preached on it, and the week before that preached on the passage in kind of the parallel passage in 1 Peter. And he said, you know, men will come to me and say, Pastor, my wife's not submitting to me. And he said, are you loving her well?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, a lot of times we look at those verses in the Bible and try to go and really focus on what the other person's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, no, if you really want an environment in your home where, like you said, Tara, that you feel comfortable and safe under the wing, that is my responsibility to my family. And all of the goodness that God wants for our marriage and our family comes out of the place where the dad says, I want that for my family. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately I didn't have the chronological or spiritual maturity to realize that 10 years ago. But I hope I do now, because I think it's really, really important. But, you know, part of the peace and the happiness in our home doesn't just come from the kids healing from their trauma. It comes from us healing from our own, and it comes from us connecting better in relationship. And, you know, we were talking earlier today about over the years, the amount of arguments Kayla and I have had have declined. Over the years, conversations with aggravated tones of voice have declined. And it's all because we're in this together. And when we're in something together, right, there's copious amounts of research on this, that if you have somebody who's with you and says, I'm in the foxhole mm-hmm. with you, we can do this, amazing things happen born out of that reality. And I think that dads have that responsibility to their families to say to their wives, yes, this doesn't make sense to me. And I will just go along with your intuitiveness with children, because that's what happened with us. Mm-hmm. You're good with kids. I'm not. So I'll be willing to embrace this. And really just take up that mantle of leadership and say, you know what, this is unconventional, but I've heard it work. There's enough families out there that will testify that it works. And just say, you know what, I embrace that. I want that for our family. Let's let the healing begin.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, thanks so much, guys. We appreciate you being here with us today. Look forward to more resources coming down the pike from your website. And so we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You have been listening to The Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.